Let us pray.
Father in heaven, open our hearts. Thank you for the word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. It is something we can trust completely with our entire lives. Oh Lord, just minister through me to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 How do our feelings and emotions, how do they connect with our walk with God? Are they good or are they harmful? Many of you probably would be familiar with the old Star Trek series, a guy named Spock. And Spock was, to be completely logical and unemotional, he thought that was the best way to go. Here's a quote from Spock: where there's no emotion, there's no motive for violence. But then in a newer Star Trek version, there was somebody named Data. And he was kind of the opposite. He was a robot, but he wanted to feel things. He wanted to experience emotions. A quote from Data is, "I am superior, sir, in many ways, but I gladly give it up to be human." Well, God created us with feelings, with emotions. And they're a wonderful gift from God. But how do we understand them? Now, a number of months ago, I shared this before, but one Sunday I was up around the altar and I was just feeling overwhelmed. Just, thank you, Lord. Just feeling overwhelmed with the love of God. Pastor Nile looked at me and he wondered if I was having a stroke because I had this faraway look because I was experiencing the love of God. Just overwhelmed with it. Now, right now, I'm not feeling that. Has God's love for me changed? But my feelings. Feelings don't always tell us the truth about God. It's amazing, Nile, Pastor Nile, the emphasis you put on not believing lies and knowing the truth about God, that God loves us, and that's the truth. And sometimes we feel that and sometimes we don't, but God's love isn't dependent on our feelings. It's depending on what's true, what's real. Now, just thinking about reality, when we walk through this life, we have to be aware as we think about what the Word of God says to us about feelings and emotions. We have to be aware that there's two realms in our reality. There's a physical realm that's temporary. It's where we use our five senses, the physical realm. But then there's a greater reality, you might say, a spiritual realm. That's they're next to each other. They're together in some way that's beyond my complete understanding. And so we have these two realms. We have an unseen realm, and then we have a seen realm. And so we have to be aware that the unseen is the more important realm. But we are naturally more focused into the seen realm than the one with our five senses. There's a wonderful, powerful event that's told in the Old Testament about a guy named Elisha. And there was a king named King of Aram that wanted to destroy Elisha. He hated him, wanted to destroy him. And so he sent an army and he surrounded a city with an army and chariots. And one day, Elisha's servant woke up and he saw the army surrounding the city and the chariots. And he basically said, to my paraphrase, he basically said, "Boss, what do we do now? We're in trouble. What do we do?" And Elisha responded. He said, "Don't be afraid. We've got them outnumbered." And I'm sure that was like, "What? Outnumbered?" And I assume the servant would be thinking he was just crazy. But then Elisha prayed for his friend. "Oh, Lord, open his eyes up so he may see." That he may see. And he saw into the spiritual realm, and the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and what did he see? The mountains covered, full of God's army, full of chariots of fire. Now, who do you think won the battle, the chariots of fire or the chariots of wood and leather? the spiritual realm is the greater reality, the greater power, and so they won the battle. Now, we need eyes of faith, but what would we see right now if we could see, if our eyes were opened like that servant's, and we could see into the spiritual realm? What would we see right now? You know what I think we'd see more than anything else? The brilliance of Christ seated at the right hand of the Father. And what's he doing right now? He's praying for us. He's interceding for us. And if, do you think if you just fixed your eyes on the fact that Jesus is up there seated, the Bible says, far above all authority, all powers, all dominions, seated there, the right hand of the Father, praying for us, loving us. I think our fear, our anxiety, our worry would begin to melt away if our eyes were fixed on Jesus, if we could see him. I had a friend that used to minister, and he used to just kind of see in his mind's eye Jesus up there as he would minister to people. And so we have this word from Paul. Let's read this together. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is reality. So what is God telling us by the Holy Spirit through Paul? He is telling us to fix our eyes on the reality, the spiritual reality, this unseen, because that's eternal, that's the more important one, to fix our eyes on that and not on the things that are temporary. Can things that we have today all be gone tomorrow? So everything in this world is temporary. So fix our eyes on the things that are unseen. And as we think about Jesus seated far above that throne, all thrones and powers of this earth, I think our response is what we was read today from the book of Romans. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. This is the worship acceptable to God. Can we just take a moment? Just see him high and lifted up. And we're not far from him. The Bible says we're seated with him in that high place. We're seated with him, high and lifted up, above all authorities, powers, dominions, far above, the Bible says. We're seated with him. Lord, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to you. We submit to your lordship. We trust you. We trust you. The only way we can do this is by the grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. We do this in the name of Jesus. And so Paul wants us to stay focused on the unseen realm, because that's the true realm. That's where we find truth. Now, last Sunday, we had the story of Peter. Was Peter a passionate, emotional man? I think we can learn anything from him about emotions and the right way to handle them. And so what happened in this story? Peter makes this incredible confession. Peter said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, real God. He's alive. And what did Jesus reply? Blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man. Did it come from the earthly realm, the natural realm, or did it come from the spiritual realm? It came from the spiritual realm, from the Father in heaven. So Peter is responding to that. And I bet his response was very passionate and emotional, you know. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so he received this message from God. And then today's gospel reading is the next part of the story. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Now, Matthew didn't take any course on marketing. He's not good at any political spin. He's just very authentic, isn't he? He tells this terrible blunder that Peter makes. Peter, after just saying that you're the Son of the living God, what's he do? God, come here. I got something. I got to straighten you out a little bit. You don't have it quite right. God has a wonderful plan for your life that doesn't include suffering or death. That's what God's plan is for your life. Now, we may not take him aside, but don't we sometimes begin to think we know better than God? We begin to put ourselves in that place. And so Peter responds to the flesh. He's living, he goes to the flesh. He goes from the spirit to the flesh. And we all struggle with this. And so, but the Messiah should suffer and die at the hands of religious leaders, were completely contrary to Peter's natural feelings and his own understanding. So Peter went from hearing from above to what made sense to him and what felt right to him based on his own feelings. Now Jesus fixes himself, his eyes on the unseen, and he was always looking at the unseen. And when he looked at the unseen, he said some very strange things, so contrary, so countercultural to the physical realm. He said things like, looking in the spiritual realm, he said, the first will be last, and the last will be first. Looking in the spiritual realm, he said, look, those who have the most servants aren't the greatest. The one who serves the most, that's the great. He looks in the spiritual realm, he says, it's not the people that take care of all the real important people of status. It's the people that take the care of the least of these. That's the people that's most important in the kingdom of God. So he kind of turns things upside down or inside out or backwards, doesn't he, from the physical realm. So he basically, again, looking in the physical realm, spiritual realm, he says, if anyone would come after me, he must what? Deny himself and take up his cross. Now, it was one time I asked a waitress, I said, what does that cross mean to you? Oh, it's just decoration. When the disciples heard the word cross, do you think they thought of some gold cross with jewels on it? What do you think they thought of? People hanging there with nails through them. So Jesus is kind of saying, as you're on your way to be electrocuted, or as you go here to the gallows, you know, you're dying. You're dying to self. Take up the cross and follow me. And now here he goes into that upside down, backwards, inside out kind of in the spiritual realm. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will find it. And then what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? You know those scales that you see where you put different weights on them? So you put one person's soul on this side and everything in the world on this side. Which is heavier? The soul. The soul, one person's soul, greater than the whole world. So, if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul, or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man's going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. So Jesus was able to fix his eyes on the unseen realm. Now here's the scripture. Let's read the scripture part together. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. All right. Again, going back to what Pastor Niles said. I don't feel loved. I don't feel loved. Is that the truth? Now my feelings are real. But I can't live by my feelings. Well, did Esau live by his feelings? He was hungry. He was really hungry. What did he do? He let his feelings control his decision, and he gave up his birthright. Now, I'm thankful for feelings. Feelings are something that God has given us. It's a wonderful gift. Feelings help us respond to God. They help us feel close to people. They help us connect to people and connect to God. So feelings are good, but feelings have to always be under the truth of God and what He says. And so we cannot blame God for our feelings. God has told us the truth. He loves us. Believe it. When we feel like giving up, you ever feel like giving up? What you have to do is don't look in the physical realm. You're honest about your feelings. David was honest about what he was feeling. He shared his feelings. Feelings are real. You share your feelings with God, but then you base your life on the truth, not on your feelings. And so the truth is, sometimes my feelings tell me to give up. But what does God say? You can keep going. My feelings tell me that I can't handle this. But what can God say? All things are possible in Christ. And so our feelings lie to us. Jeremiah said our feelings can be deceptive above all things. And so, but feelings under the truth, under the Lordship of Jesus, are a wonderful gift, but we just have to keep them under the truth. Now, right now, think about the rest of the service. If we could see in the spiritual realm, what do you think we'd see? What do you think we'd see in the spiritual realm as we pray over the bread and the wine to become the body and blood? Do you think we'd see some kind of spiritual encounter, some breakthrough from the spiritual realm into the physical realm? And as people come up in faith, did you read what it says? Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. We don't see the grace of God when we receive the bread and the wine, but the grace of God is there for us if we receive it by faith. When we pray for people, James chapter 5, and by the way, we're going to have a sermon series going through the whole book of James that's going to start next Sunday. Whole sermon series on the book of James. James chapter 5, when we anoint people and pray for them. When the prayer team is going to be praying for people today. And I think if we could see that with spiritual eyes, I think we'd see the kingdom of God breaking in, entering the physical realm to touch somebody physically, emotionally, spiritually, to minister to them. So God wants to break through into our realm with the spiritual realm and changes things. So I thank God that God created us with feelings and the ability to think. However, what we think or feel about God, ourselves, life, or others must always submit them to the greater reality of God's word, God's truth. So let us, Lord, help us fix our eyes, not on what is seen, for what is seen is temporary. Father, help us to fix our eyes on the unseen, for the unseen is eternal. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we're going to have two brief little testimonies right now that relate to this. It's that you have to not go by your feelings when we think about who we are in Christ, but to go by the truth. So Tim and Amanda are going to come up, and Seiko is going to play for this song.
I have to confess that I fall victim to the superwoman fallacy, that I can do all things, be in all places I need to be on time and meet everybody's demands. And as I've confessed my feelings to God about this situation, I've explained to Him that I don't really need an atta girl, but when someone expresses their frustration with me that somehow I didn't defy space, time, and the laws of nature and meet their demands, I get frustrated when they tell me they're disappointed in me. So the reality is, I'm human, and we're all human, and we're going to let down our spouse and our family and our employees and our tenants, and in my case, my patients. And I don't really need their approval at the end of the day and at the end of my life. I just want to face my Creator, and I want Him to say, I know you. Well done, good and faithful servant. And by the way, I love you, and I've always loved you. And I love you not for what you do, but for who you are.
I was going to share about myself, but I really have to share about something that my wife had told me yesterday about this song we're going to sing. It's called You Say. And this is the very first Christian song that my wife heard. And it spoke volumes to her because she's a woman that tries to take care of everybody's business. And with that, she had feelings of lack and that she would come up short. And so when she heard these words, I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. That's exactly how she felt prior to coming to know the things of God as she has come along in the faith. And so, it was transforming for her and in her heart and in her life. And so grateful for how God speaks through a song. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let this song speak to you this morning.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You say I am loved, but I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong, I think I am weak. You say I am held, I am falling short, but I don't belong. You say I am yours, though I believe what you say to me, though I believe. The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you I find my worth, in you I find my identity. You say I am loved, when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong, when I think I am weak. You say I am held, when I am falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe what you say to me. Yes, I believe. Taking all I have and now I'm laying it at your feet. You have every failure gone. You have every victory. You say I am love when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I'm weak. You say I am hell when I'm falling short. When I don't believe.